We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 24th edition. We are at the NFL Draft Eve, as tomorrow night we'll be getting ready for the first round, kicking off at 7 o'clock Central. Of course, we'll be at Las Cruces in Metairie, Las Cruces, Tex-Mex, starting at 6 o'clock. We'll be going all the way till 11 o'clock at night, breaking down pick by pick, obviously getting whatever the Saints end up doing. Whoever they select will end up calling into the show afterwards, and we'll get to hear from them too. And want to see you out at Las Cruces Tex-Mex too, Who Dat Nation. Me, Mike Dettillier, Mike Hawes, and Deuce McAllister will be out there, like I said, from 6 to 11 o'clock. Stop by, say hey. Looking forward to that. We got in the 7 o'clock hour going around the NFC South. We'll touch on some things with Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and of course the Carolina Panthers. This hour is going to be, after the first break, getting in touch with Ali Cosell, who covers the Pelicans' big matchup tonight, Game 2. It's almost a must-win situation for this Bird team against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number one seed in the Western Conference. Definitely a tough matchup for them, but they were oh so close last game, just couldn't close the deal. Hopefully this outcome will be a lot different tonight. Mike, I know you've been getting ready for this NFL draft too, and all the talk and buzz has obviously been around offensive line for this team, and the need got a little bit greater today with the news of James Hurst retiring from the club. I saw an article posted on the NOLA.com that he had let the team know back in March that this was in his sight, so they weren't blindsided by this by any means.
No, but it's a significant situation, right? You don't, as you sit here, we don't know Ryan Ramczyk's situation. Mickey said, really, you know, not a great deal of change between now and the owners' meetings when Dennis Allen talked. We don't know Trevor Penning's situation and how much will he kind of improve in this OTAs and minicamp and, you know.
Fingers crossed,
it,
for
does
sure.
Does it need a change of position?
Right.
Whatever, who knows? But at this point, you're not really sure what you got at right tackle or left tackle. Andres Pete did a really solid job at left tackle. He's an unrestricted free agent, you know, out there as well. So there's so much kind of we just don't know.
Uncertainty.
And I think right now the Saints are in that same boat. I don't think they really 100% know about Ryan, or maybe they don't 100% know about Trevor. And so it's got to be. We were looking at the ESPN with Charlie Long and looking it up, and Mel Kiper's got safety, and who else did he have, Charlie? Safety and no offensive line.
Oh, no, it was outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker.
It was wide receiver and edge rusher.
And edge rusher.
So it didn't even have safety.
Right.
Wide receiver's the only one that I think, like, yeah, sure, I can understand that. But if you're talking about the biggest needs on this team, it's offensive line and maybe safety then receiver. Like, I don't even know that edge rusher is really up there for me.
Yeah, much respect to Mel Kiper Jr., but that's a head-scratcher not to have offensive line on there at all.
Yeah, I agree. And so that's everything that I have looked at, you know, I'm not a guy who does mocks. I'm a guy who steals mocks, right? I look at my, you know, Dettillier's and everybody's and then try to get some type of consensus. And the consensus is pretty clear.
Right.
Of the 12 I looked at, it's an offensive lineman. 8, you know, is one guy. 2, Latham. 2, you know, Talisi. So it just depends. But kinda, it feels like, you know, Fashanu is the guy, Olu Fashanu, that most people expect the Saints to take. Now, maybe he goes. Who's to say that, you know, one of the teams ahead of the Saints, I don't think it'll be the Chargers or Tennessee, But who's to say that maybe it's, you know, not Las Vegas or, you know. So I think they're going to get a good offensive lineman, and we'll never know if it's the guy they had at the very, very top of the board. But because they need it. And the question really to me is 7 picks on Saturday. Four and a fifth, 2 and the 6th, 1 and the 7th. And I've been looking at these draft value charts, right? Really – because you don't use them too often because you don't really ever have this many picks this late. And just trying to do the math, and basically you need like 100 points, right, to get into the 4th round. And if you took all 4 of your 5th rounders, you got about 100. And that's the last spot in the 4th round.
So it'd take you 4 fifths to get 1/4.
Right. So now, and maybe, so you have to throw in a player or something. But if you just do that kind of math.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of interesting to see what the Saints can do, will do to move up into that. I just do not believe we're going to have a Saturday at Rouse's on Power with 7 picks. You know.
That would be a heck of a haul, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but you're talking about going – you know, so they'll pick, what, 45th on Friday night, and then you got to wait until the 5th round, 150, I believe it is. Wow, that's a gap.
That's a huge gap,
that's
right?
A, you know, 105 players. So, you know, I'm quite certain they will, because they do have 7 picks to move with. It's just a question of how they can do it.
Yeah, you talk about mock drafts. There was a few times I've been into the mock draft simulators, and I tried to make a trade to move into that 3rd round. And I had to give up a 3rd from next year, along with packaging the 3 5th-round picks to end up getting this year's 3rd-round pick for this year. So I know it's going to be definitely frustrating, really difficult to maneuver for this Saints squad. But have faith that Mickey Loomis and co. will find something. Like you said, I can't imagine them with all those selections in day 3 holding on to them just because there's not enough room on this roster for those guys.
Yeah, and I've, you know, as you talk to, you know, and Mickey, and throughout the years of doing this, you do look at it differently, in that we look at it as this 3-day marathon, right? And it's like, well, we're just doing right now.
Yeah.
I just did something. I took the 5th round and did the math, and on the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart, where can they go? That is such make-believe, because that's not the real world. The real world is you do Thursday and you make 32 picks and it's, okay, now where are we, right? Now who's there? Who's on our board? What can we do? So they live in 3 24-hour segments, right? We don't. We live in 172. But that's not how they come Saturday. What do we have? Who's on our board? That kind of thing. So it's interesting to me to see how they can move up and get, you know, I mean, 14 and 45, it's pretty solid. You're going to get some good players.
Not draft related, Mike, but we saw Drew Brees and also Derek Carr at the Zurich taking part in the Pro-Am action. The Saints media got a hold of the two. Here's what they had to say. The Saints themselves posted this audio to their website, and here's what Drew Brees and Derek Carr had to say over at the Zurich.
I mean, how cool is this experience just to play, you know, play together?
It's awesome. I've been looking forward to this. I tried to get him out of here last year, but he was in the film room. This is obviously it's a big deal for the city of New Orleans. I'm having the Zurich here. It's a great event. It allows us to showcase all the great things about Louisiana. I get my fill of Cajun food, you know, for 24 hours out here. But this is a lot of fun. And look, we're playing to win too. Like we're not just here to slap the ball around. Okay, you know, we're here to make a run at it. So hopefully our pros, Ryan Palmer and Zach Johnson, can help get us to the finish line here.
Hey, no doubt about it. Yeah, I'm just excited. Just anytime I get to hang out with Drew or talk to Drew. And then obviously for the city of New Orleans to have this event is awesome. See, and I've already seen so many kids running around with jerseys on and asking them to sign them and all that kind of, I just think it's awesome. You know, I dreamed of something like that in my hometown, you know, and so that we get to do that here with the kids, with the fans, and be around these pros again. Like Drew said, I text my brothers today. I was like, I'm here to win. So like, we got to go low.
You all understand how unique this is. I mean, maybe we could just get Archie and we can have like a trifecta here. But just knowing what this means to this community, to have you all together, sharing, talking, doing what you're doing.
Yeah, Look, I've been a fan of Derek's for a long time, even when, you know, we were playing the Raiders and unfortunately he was beating us. You know, now he's on our team, which is a good thing. Look, I love our organization, you know, and I recognize what a unique thing we have, you know, with our fan base, and the special connection that our team has with the city. And, you know, just because I no longer play for the New Orleans Saints doesn't mean that I don't live and die with it, you know, every weekend, just like everybody else does. You know, I do. And all my kids ask me every weekend is, even between their games, which is a full-time job chasing kids around to U Sports, is, you know, we want to go to every Saints game, even the away games, right? So I'm a diehard fan now, and obviously always here as a resource. I love talking ball, you know, with Derek whenever I get the chance. And the coaching staff, and just being around the game.
Two things with Drew Brees. One, the fact that he still, when he talks about the Saints, still says we. Absolutely love that. And then him mentioning, well, we're here to win. Well,
both of them. If
you know Drew, obviously, yeah, the competitiveness with him, there is nothing that he's taking part in, competing in, that he isn't out to win.
You know, and he also said, you know, I'm always here for anything they need, like a consultant. Did I hear kind of maybe consult, a little assistant coaching, whatever it takes. I don't trust any NFL quarterback that doesn't play golf. That's my thing, right? So I'm having dinner with Mark Carnevale, former James Madison University golfer. He does radio play-by-play for the PGA, and so we're having dinner tonight. So I'm going to ask him, see how Drew and Derek did today.
Definitely curious to find out that. Where we get back from the break, going to talk to Ali Cosell, NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Big matchup in OKC tonight, game two. Can the Pellies even the series up? We'll find out when we talk to Ali right after this on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are back here on Sports Talk, getting ready for the Pelicans. Big game tonight against the OKC Thunder. Game two of that playoff series. Happy to welcome in NBA writer Ali Cosell to the radio huddle. How you been, Ali?
Hey, Steve, Charlie. I'm doing well. I'm excited about tonight, but I'm very curious to see how it goes at the same time, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't honestly know what to expect.
No, I hear you on that. And one thing I heard from the players basically is, you know, a lot of the fans might have been complaining about there being too physical basketball right now, but everybody on the Pels is like, yeah, welcome to the playoffs. We welcome it. We're going to thrive in it, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I thought that the Pelicans actually, the composure was fine, right? For instance, when I saw Jose Alvarado get thrown to the ground, boy, if that would happen in the regular season, I'm pretty sure he would have thrown, you know, whoever threw him down right back. But they all took the shot. There was no technicals picked up. And, yeah, I felt like I said, the composure was fine until just like the last, what, 3.5 minutes, right? For some reason, all year, right, we've been talking about they can't finish in the clutch. And it happened again, you know, on Sunday night. So they've got to figure that out, because we knew that most playoff games, they're going to be close, and that's what it comes down to. You just got to make one or two shots, have one or two possessions go your way, and odds are you can probably win the game.
Hey, Ali, Mike Haas. I totally agree, but what was interesting to me is that you needed clutch shots in that third and fourth quarter to come back from being 10-11 down. And they did it a couple of times. If they don't make some clutch shots in those third and fourth quarter, there is no, you know, two-minute question mark. And so they were able to do it, just not at the very end. But, man, I guess I've watched them play the Lakers, and I watched the kind of end of the season and who they match up with. And I look at Oklahoma City, and number one seed. But I just feel like the Pelicans match up so much better with this Thunder team that I don't think they're the least bit, you know, kind of scared or intimidated by them.
No, I agree fully, Mike. I think that, honestly, this is probably even a better matchup for the Pelicans in hindsight than the Timberwolves would have been, right? So, yes, you don't have Zion Williamson, but look, you're as versatile as the Thunder. You still have multiple scorers. And the thing in your favor, really, is you're a much better rebounding team. You've got a real legitimate center in Jonas Valanciunas. And we saw the Pelicans really, and hats off to the coaching staff, they really got the players to play through Jonas more than they usually did in the regular season. Of course, crashing the glass, right? Those 18 offensive rebounds led to a lot more second chance points than the Thunder picked up. So if they could just control the Thunder from getting out in transition, that's what really hurt to me. You gave them 20 easy points. That's where the Pelicans, I think, only got 7. If you can keep that number somewhere, you know, similar, right? Say both teams are just one or 2 points away from each other in that category, I think the Pelicans will be in prime position to win this game. Thing for me is I'm wondering how the referees are going to call this game, because I've watched pretty much all the playoff games, at least parts of them, and this one by far was the most physical one. So are they going to probably maybe call a little bit closer and suddenly lead to more free throws, which I think, honestly, not only does it benefit Shea, but I think it would benefit Brandon, right? The way Lou Dort guarded him, he couldn't get any, you know, he had no airspace to even take a breath. So I think that's what I'm going to be watching for, because I really believe both teams are going to shoot better. Right, the Pelicans, you already mentioned it, they're one of the best teams on the road all season, and they shot great away from home. Thunder shoot great at home. So both teams combined for like 40% from the field, 30% from three in that first game. I think that's an aberration. So for me, it's just, I'm going to look at the referee's whistle. Can B.I. get going? And like I said, can you just keep them from getting easy points? Then I think they'll have, a great chance to win this game.
Ollie, I think it's a great point, because a lot of people kind of project OKC to have a really bounce back night as far as scoring goes. The over under total from Vegas is, I think, around 212 or something like that right now. And after our 94-92 game one, that seems like a pretty big jump in scoring. And they kind of agree with you that it is a little bit of an aberration that OKC went 10-32, 31% from three, and 43% from the field overall. At the same time, I don't think people are considering enough that, yes, while OKC may have a bounce back night shooting wise, the Pelicans are right there too. Like, I saw so many different threes. Herb Jones was a perfect example, a guy that shot over 41% from three this year and was even better on the road than he was at home as far as three-point shooting goes. He goes 2-for-8, and a couple of those threes were like in and out, they rim out. Like, some of those are going to start dropping. And the Pelicans, who went 11-39 from three-point range, like, I think that they're going to make some more shots as well. That was kind of the key piece that Willie Green kept saying in the postgame, was like, look, we just got to make our shots. And so while people think that OKC is going to have a bounce-back night from the field, I don't think people are really giving the Pelicans enough credit that they could have one as well.
Yeah, and that's a mistake on their part. Because if there's one thing the Pelicans do well, is they're going to hold most opponents most nights to shooting below their averages, especially from three-point range, right? They've done it the last two seasons. But still, even if OKC gets hot, I don't see any reason why the Pelicans cannot. Right? They shot 23 wide-open threes. They made just 6 of them. That's like 25-26%. In the regular season, they made about close to 40% of those type of shots. So you're right. I felt like every one of Herb Jones seemed to be in and out. But, you know, he wasn't alone. Najee had some. Jose, CJ. So somebody's going to get hot. I wouldn't be surprised if two players shoot pretty darn well, especially from three. And, boy, if you had just made 2 of those in the last game, you would have won that game. So it's not like you're asking for too much. Right? You don't need to go and shoot 50% from three. Because, like I said, you've got Jonas. You're going to beat them up on the glass. You should own the paint. There's a lot of advantages there.
The Jonas matchup is an interesting one, Ollie, because we talked about how poor Oklahoma City is as a rebounding squad. Something I kind of noticed late, I don't know if you saw it as much. I was just looking at what OKC was doing to kind of combat Jonas, and it felt like late in the game when Jonas would come in, they would sub Chet out, and they would put Jalen Williams, the center from Arkansas, the kind of more beefy guy in, to really battle with him on the boards. And when Larry was in, that's when Chet would come back in. And I think that's something to keep an eye on, is the matchups underneath Jonas versus Jalen Williams, who got really physical at times with him, but Jonas still dominated with 20 boards. You kind of hope that he can do that more often in this series. And Chet Holmgren kind of getting those minutes when Larry's in.
Yeah, look, Chet's going to have to play. I mean, he's going to play 32, 35 minutes. So he's going to have to match up against JV for at least half the time, right? There's no way Mark Dagnall's going to shoot or sit Chet. Try and say that a few times quickly.
Right.
JV's in the game. So, no, I'm in full agreement. You know what I like about what Willie Green did to start that game? I don't know if you guys remember that last regular season game against OKC. They put JV out on Josh Giddey. Well, guess what? Josh Giddey got hot and destroyed him. So in this game, in that first playoff game, he had JV guarding Chet, who it feels like a mismatch on paper, right? Chet's more mobile, can shoot the three. But you know what? I think it worked out to the Pelicans' advantage. So on the Pel side, I hope that Chet plays as much as possible, because I honestly like the way JV handled, the way Pelicans' defense handled it. And, right, on the other end, they've got nobody that can match up. And you're right, Jalen Williams is a little bit better, but he doesn't really give him anything offensively. I feel like the two threes he made him was so fortunate for OKC, because he's not a dependable guy. That's why he was left open, wide open, to shoot all those threes. But normally he doesn't give you anything offensively, and that's why he doesn't play many minutes. Mark Dagnall wants guys that can play on both ends of the court. So actually having Jalen Williams plays in the Pelicans' hands. So please feed JV, make them go to Jalen Williams, and I think that'll work out better for them this time around.
Ali, I heard this stat today, and I had to ask you about it, because I was like, it can't be true. It's not possible. The Pelicans, when trailing entering the fourth quarter,
boo.
Are they really 0-24, Ali?
They came so close both times against the Lakers and then last night against OKC, but it's still winless.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been tracking that for like the last month. But yeah, it's true. If anybody wants to look at fun stuff like that, there's a place called Hoop Stats.
Okay.
And it breaks everything down by quarter. Whether you're trailing, tied, or leading, it tells you basically what your win-loss record is. And yeah, I just can't believe it. So they're due, right? They're due. If they're trailing at the start of the fourth, I'm going to call a win.
What are you looking for in this matchup tonight that will need to be different, but, you know, being more successful from three-point range for the Pels, that needs to change from, you know, game one?
Yeah, I'm looking at CJ.
Okay.
Since
yeah.
Brandon Ingram, we're not sure if he's 100% yet, and he's got Lou Dort. If he's not 100%, I hope he still continues to act a decoy. I thought he made a lot of great passes that the shots just didn't drop. Right? He had 12 potential assists, only picked up three assists. Usually that number's a lot better when you're getting your opponents that good of looks. But either way, I think CJ, right? He's been playing well over the last, month and a half overall. He's got a couple of 30-point games in him, I think, in this series. I think tonight's going to be one of them. I don't care who they put on him, but as long as it's not Lou Dort, I think he can score against him.
I think there's just a couple good matchups in this series that I'm keeping an eye on. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 28 points in the first game. But for me, Ali, I don't know how you felt. It felt like a quietish 28 points. And this is a dude that people have propped up in the MVP conversation. I don't want to call him overrated, because I think he's a great player. But you cannot tell me that he is better than Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic. Like, you cannot convince me of that by any stretch of the imagination. And it's almost like I don't want to say it's his 30-point stretch is like an aberration necessarily, but if you kind of let him get his, I feel like the Thunder, if you can defend guys like Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, who had a really quiet night in that game one, Jalen Williams is the one that really scares me. Like, if you're talking about X factors on this team for the Thunder, Jalen Williams is a guy that can go out and get 20 points on any given night. I think he averaged just under 19 per game this season. That's the guy that you really need to lock down, especially if, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's having a good night.
Right. I agree. Look, Shai, if he can't get to the free throw line, say 10, 12 times a game, he's going to struggle to score. And I think we saw that. By those 28 points, it took him 24 shots. But he's not a three-point shooter. So if this game is as physical as I think it's going to be, and if the referees still largely stick to a playoff whistle, yeah, he's not as scary, especially when, of course, you've got Herb and Dyson sitting in the wings. So, yeah, Jalen Williams is the one I'm looking at too. But I'll tell you what, Trey Murphy, I thought, played the best by far. I don't think it can be argued. The best game for Pelican on both sides of the ball, right? He was probably hitting shots the most consistently. He was making some stuff off the dribble happen. And, of course, he had, 3 blocks and a steal. So he was everywhere. And I think that's the kind of skill set you want to throw on Jalen Williams, who I think, right, he wasn't efficient either. But then he's have like 19, 20 points, but it took him almost that many shot attempts just to get that total. So, yeah, I agree. Jalen Williams is in number two, no doubt about it. But I think, like I said, Pelicans match up well. That's why that length, that versatility, I think it's going to be another thing that gets them to almost to the finish line. It's just you're going to need some offense, right, to push you over that from somebody.
And then, Ollie, you and I talked about this a little bit off-air when I was bringing you on over. It feels like a must-win. Because if you come back to New Orleans down 0-2, where you haven't played well in the Smoothie King Center, it puts a ton of pressure on you to tie the series up and win both games and kind of hold serve, so to speak, at home court. Or unless you're going back to OKC, you know, down 3-1 potentially for a game five, that's not where you want to be. If you tie it up tonight and get to 1-1, then it's a completely different series. There's not as much pressure on you to win both games at the Smoothie King Center, where you've struggled at times this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, just like we talked about that, like you said, right before we got on air. I echo those sentiments exactly. You got to get this one tonight, so then that way you can just grab one of these two at home. But I will say that I'm expecting a much different kind of home environment, to where I remember in the last couple of playoff series the Pelicans were in, it was so loud, both versus the Suns a couple of years ago and then, of course, the Portland Trailblazers in 2018, that it didn't even matter what their home record was. That energy, the emotions, just kind of lift the players up. That I don't think being at home is going to hurt them as much. I know that they were much better on the road, but like I said, I think playoffs are a different animal. Plus, you come in as a player with a lot more amped up. You know, your emotions are sky high because it is the playoffs. So, while I agree with you, Charlie, I don't want to take that chance, but I'm not going to say it's the end of the world. Let's say if they do lose tonight and they got to come home and win too.
I'm glad you brought up the crowd there, Ollie. I feel like Pels fans could, you know, learn a little something. Tune in tonight. Watch this OKC crowd, because, man, oh, man, they were rocketing game one for sure.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad the Pelicans announced that they're going to be opening up the doors 2 hours on Saturday, right, ahead of time, plus concessions half off. So get there early and be loud, because you're right. That home environment was everything for OKC. It was during the regular season. You saw in that first playoffs. I heard from people that were there in the building, they couldn't even hear themselves think, right? So when players were doing interviews or just talking amongst each other or just trying to talk to referees, they couldn't even hear one another. So I hope it sounds like that here in New Orleans.
Just make sure you download the app so you can follow our draft coverage as well on Saturday from 11 to 6.
Because it's gonna be busy.
There's a few things going on Saturday. If you like golf, if you like Jazz Fest, if you like the draft.
We got it all.
Pelicans at 2:30. Man, this is big. I agree.
Ollie, always appreciate.
And we've got great weather. Let's mention that too.
Ollie, definitely always appreciate your time. Let's go get a win tonight so we're talking some positive ball coming, you know, the future.
I hear you guys. Look, we've had some luck. When you brought me on, usually some good things happen, especially after a loss. So let's hope that streak continues.
I love it. Talk to you soon, Ollie.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Ollie.
That was Ollie Cosell, NBA writer that covers the Pelicans. Always gives us great insights. Going to take a break. Be right back. Rip more on Sports Talk here on WWL. Tomorrow, just a day away from the Saints in the NFL draft, and nobody does it bigger than WWL. It all starts tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Join Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas for the Saints draft preview show with head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, and all the Saints top brass. Trust me, folks, it is appointment listening radio for any Saints fan. We also got some exciting locations for the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. Tomorrow, we will be at Las Cruces, Tex-Mex, and Metairie. Friday, Hooters of Metairie on Vets. And then Saturday, meet up with us at the Rouses on Power Boulevard. Wall-to-wall draft coverage that starts tomorrow, 4 p.m. on Saints Radio, WWL, and the free Odyssey app. Want to hear from you on our Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line. That's 504-260-1870. See, James has been hanging on, wants to talk about a guy that just retired. What's going on, James?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in my feelings because I know Hurst came pretty much. I came back here from Maryland pretty much the same time that he came here. And I told Zach when he was on air that he would be one of your top five linemen. He turned out to be, not initially, but he was one of the top five starters on the team. And that just shows you how far the time is undefeated, because he was the weak link, sadly, last season. One of the other guys called and mentioned something about who runs the show or whatever. I still follow Sean. And I remember, you know, it was just quietly announced that he stole another, not this time a player, but one of the scouts. It was quietly announced on our end over here, but up there or over there, Midwest, West Coast, I don't consider Denver West Coast, but still West. He was kind of, you know, boisterous that was the guy. He was the guy who, you know, kind of picked the top guy. So whoever that guy is, I forgot what his name was. But in the second round, I'm thinking Cooper Beebe. This is an offensive guard / tackle. It's almost a wrap. We probably got to go first round tackle, second round, another offensive lineman, and Cooper Beebe will be the guy. I think, you know, he fits the mold. He's a bully. He runs pretty well. The only knock on him, I think, is he got short arms. And I think another one you guys was mentioning trades. I heard, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I know the Vikings are really, you know, they can't get it done, even though they didn't sign the guy Cousins. But they didn't sign him because they were trying to save the money for Jefferson. But he wants more money, and they may try to make a deal. So don't be surprised if his name wouldn't come up.
Man, that's the easiest trade, like in the first round, I think, is that Minnesota's going to trade up to get their quarterback of the future.
I'm with you right there because, they don't have any answers right now.
Like maybe, I think Justin Jefferson's waiting to see who they pick.
Right. Well, maybe like you could take a developmental guy like J.J. McCarthy and have him sit behind Sam Darnold and see what you have in Sam Darnold. I don't know. Maybe he has a Baker Mayfield season. I'm not going to say that. But, like, it's possible, right? Anything's possible.
Right.
A former top pick that's kind of bounced around the league a little bit, lands in your laps. You have him be kind of your de facto starter, and you have your rookie quarterback that you take in the top five sit for a little bit until he's ready to go. Yeah, that's the easiest trade. As for your talk about the Broncos hiring a former Saints guy, it was Cody Rager. Or is it Rager? I think it was either Rager or Rager. I forgot how you pronounce it. But that's who it was. Former Saints assistant scouting director in a VP role with their personnel department. So that's who they went and picked up. Second round pick guys at 45. I'll let y'all kind of debate it, like what kind of position you think they go with. Mike and I have talked about it ad nauseum. There's going to be like 8 receivers taken in the second round. And if you're the Saints, I still kind of want a guy there. I really like Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, the kind of the big body receiver. I don't know if he'll be there at pick 45. Same thing with like Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I'm worried about a team when you mentioned Leggett, a team like Kansas City at the end of round one taking him.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Like Coleman, Leggett, like right, Ricky Pearsall. Coleman. There's going to be a ton of really talented receivers taken in round two. I just kind of want the Saints to get one.
Even before the news today of the Ryan Ramczyk, you know, retiring, James Hurst. What did I say? Ryan Ramczyk. Sorry, everyone. James Hurst retiring. I got, you know, too much on the brain. My last mock draft, I had the Saints going tackle, round one and round two.
Okay, who's the tackle you had in round two?
Round two, he fell to me, and I couldn't pass up on it. Was Tyler Guyton.
Guyton, I think, is going to be a back end of the first round guy. I would be pretty surprised if he falls into round two.
That's why I was like, I can't.
I think Mike had him going.
I couldn't take it. Not take him in the second round. And I figured boosting up the offensive line was a great thing for this squad, obviously.
Yeah, when there's going to be a run on tackles in the first round, like I think there's probably going to be at least 8 guys selected to the position in the first 32 picks, which is crazy to think about. Like you're looking at a couple guys that could be filtered down in the second round. If you really love a prospect there and you have like a first-round grade on them in the second round, yeah, that's where you double down and take tackle. But we'll have to see.
We're going
to
take a break. Be right back. Closing out the 6 o'clock hour of sports talk right after this on WWL. Seeing someone on our Oakland Hard Jewelers text line wondering, where is Bobby? Well, blame his son. He's getting married in Florida. So the Cajun Cannon is taking a little break, enjoying some time with his family and his son, Bo, who is getting married. So congratulations to them. But yeah, I kind of joke with him. Bad timing by Bo this weekend to have a wedding plan. But I guess that was all the wife's idea.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. I remember when, you know, I have 2 spring daughters.
Okay.
There's a reason for that, people. We've got a calendar out, and this and we said, football season is here. This is our window. And we have 2 spring daughters, no football season daughters. So it happens. But that part, but you're, you know, the draft. I don't know that when you're thinking, because it's a destination wedding, they're out of town.
Right.
You know, you got it. We got this. It's this weekend or nothing. But Bobby's all good, just having a good time with his son, Bo. Best of luck to them.
We also got someone calling in wanting to know, what is the Saints' plan for Trevor Penning? Well, it's still left tackle. They're hoping those new coaches coming in can help develop him, get him to where he needs to be. Still a young talent, obviously, but man, oh man, there's a lot to live up to being that first-round pick.
Yeah, John Benton is the new offensive line coach.
Right.
New theory, new philosophy, new foundation.
Hopefully,
you almost got to start over with
hopefully
this
a new Penning.
Build his confidence back.
We're going to take a break. Be right back with the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk, where we'll go around the NFC South, checking in on all the Saints' opposition to see what their plan is for the draft. Be back with more Sports Talk right after this. First, it's time for our news break here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.